Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
The date was February the 11th, 1990. The place was Tokyo, Japan. The event, a heavyweight fight between Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas. At the time, Mike Tyson was undefeated. His record was 37-0. 33 of those 37 victories were by knockouts. For Tyson, he was treating it like a warm-up fight to meet Evander Holyfield. For Buster Douglas, it was a chance to make a name and some money. The odds in Las Vegas of Buster Douglas winning that fight were 42-1. Let me monetize that for you. If by any remote chance Douglas could win the fight and you bet $25,000 on that, your payout would have been over $1 million. Actually, as we did, as the fight went on, it lasted longer than was expected. Douglas made it all the way to round 8. And finally, Tyson knocked him down and he was flat on the canvas. And it looks like the fight is over. The referee walks over and begins the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But before he could get to 10, Douglas staggers to his feet. You can tell he's dazed. Tyson sees the opportunity. One more punch, and it's all over. He goes across to do the final punch, but just before he could get there, the bell rings, and the round ends. Something happened between round 8 and round 9. Because when Douglas came out that next round, he was like a different person. He had a new energy. He had a new vitality. And shortly thereafter, Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. To this day, that is still considered one of the greatest sports upsets in history. I shared this story with you because the interesting part of the story is what happened after the fight. Douglas was being interviewed by a reporter. And reporter asked him, "What happened to you between round 8 and round 9? In round 8, it looked like you were finished, like it was over. In round 9, you had all this new energy and vitality." And paraphrasing, here's what Douglas told him in the story. He said, "My mother was one of my biggest fans. She would always take me to the gym and invested in me and encouraged in me. And my mother wanted to be at this fight. But a short time ago, my mother died. But before she died, she said to me, 'Son, win this fight for me.' I believe that the reason Mike Douglas won that fight that night was when he was flat on his back and he was facing certain defeat, he discovered a why to get up, a why to keep going. And that's what made him victorious. And that's what we're going to talk about today, discovering your why. Finding your why. But before we get going, I just want to say it is so great to be back with you. And, you know, I'm disappointed Pastor and Kim and the family can't be here, but it was great to see him on the big video. Yeah, wow. And you know, it doesn't seem possible. Over 30 years been speaking at the church and seeing the great growth, and they're just the greatest couple. I'm just always so impressed with his always trying to have excellence. You know, when you travel around such as I do all over the world, you get to appreciate when the excellence. And in every way you can imagine, behind the scenes that you don't see, this church gives off excellence. And it's just incredible. I check into my room, and they have this, like, not normal. They have this great fruit basket for me, but the little things, like they've already checked into the room before I get there, so I don't have to stand in line. They just hand me the key. Excellence. I get into the room, and there's the fruit basket. But guess what's beside the fruit basket? A picture of my family, framed in my room. To help me to feel more at home on the road. Just little things like that that make such a difference in everything. And I just want you to know you have two of the greatest pastors anywhere in the world. I hope you really appreciate that. Let me just briefly tell you a little bit of my bio, and then we'll move on, because many of you have been here when I've been here before, but every time I come, there's people that, you know, are first-timers, and I think it's always good when you have a meal to know who prepared the meal and where the meal came from. You know, I'm a little bit different in my presentation because I come out of a business background, and the thing that launched me to the speaking arena was a miracle turnaround I did at a Chrysler dealership in Southern California, where I had the opportunity to take over a dealership on the day they were going to declare bankruptcy, and the dealership skyrocketed in sales 300%. And 90 days later was in the top 10 in Southern California for Chrysler stores. And that's what launched me into the speaking arena. We've sold over 1 million audio programs. I've spoken to the largest seminars in the world, sometimes 20, 30,000 people. Had my own national television program. Do we have a picture of the family? Did they send that? I'd like to show the picture of the family. This is not all the family. This is only 37 of them. But I have five kids, sharing us three. My first wife passed away. Her husband left her, and I know her for many years. We got married, so now we have eight children. That's six. They're married. That's 16 children, 21 grandchildren, eight great-grandchildren, and two on the way. Yeah. You know, by the way, this picture was taken at our Hawaii Increase event this last spring. Every year, we put on two events a year that's specifically geared for leaders and achievers. One of them's in California in the fall, and the other one we do in Hawaii in the spring. And this last year was our 40th anniversary Increase event. And I tell you, that was the highlight moment of the event for me, to have so many of my family that came, and many of them paid their own way to come and celebrate the anniversary with us. Because Increase is not just about money and about success. You know, that to me, that's Increase. Because all of those kids serving God, three generations, that means more to me than anything. Speaking of events, by the way, we have one coming up in just a few weeks in California. And if you're a leader and achiever and you want to come to something unlike anything you've ever been to, I invite you to come and join us. The thing that makes it unique is we do 4 to 7 speakers a day, but we're done at 1 o'clock. And so you're going to every day hear speakers that are going to motivate you, help you. But the real strength of our events are the people that come, and you get to fellowship with them and idea exchange with them. The church has a group discount, half price. If you want to get information on it, you can go to the number, or you can get brochures back at the table after the meeting. Increase is what I teach on. What is increase? I can say a word to some people, and it means something, but the same word can mean something totally different to somebody else. And I think a good example of that, many of you might remember a movie years ago, Miss Congeniality. with Schaffner and, oh, come on, who was it? Sandra Bullock. And she's a beauty contestant. And he asked her this question. He said, describe for me your perfect date. And she replies, April the 25th. It's not too hot and it's not too cold. So it meant one thing to him, but meant something totally to somebody else. You know, I traveled for over 20 years with America's number one motivational speaker, a man named Zig Ziglar. And I'll never forget the first time I spoke with Zig, he said something that so impacted my life. He said, if you don't like the output of something, go back and change the input. He said, most people deal with negative output, they never go back to the cause. The cause is wrong input. He said, so deal with the input. And so that's one thing I've learned and done in my life. Because when you change the input, you change your life. And that's true with the message of increase. Let me give this one testimony to you. This man wrote me and he said, within 6 months, my income doubled. Now, there's the money, but listen to the rest. I got more involved in my church. My wife and I running around like two teens in love. I've lost 75 pounds, and I've been totally cured of cancer. Every area of his life impacted because his thinking changed. Let me give you one illustration, because when your thinking changes, it does affect every area of your life. It even affects your travel. A few years ago now, I had the opportunity to speak at a conference in Montego Bay, Jamaica. And the conference ended on Friday night. Then on Sunday morning, I was speaking at a church in Kingston. And so rather than drive the 4 hours, I decided to fly. So I go out to the airport, I get to the counter, and I put my bag in the scale, and the agent says, that'll be $50. And it shocked me. Not that $50 is a lot of money, but it shocked me because I'm not used to somebody asking me to pay for bags. See, part of increase is you learn how to save money, not just make money. And so, you know, if I fly on United or with the other airlines, I have their credit cards or some program, I get free bags. On American, I get 3 bags free with 70 pounds. And now this person's saying pay $50 for a bag. But then I realized, oh, well, I don't have any connections with this airline. So I reach in and I pull out my credit card and I go to give it to him to pay for the bag. Now, I want you to see this working now. We operate with two different mentalities. We have the conscious mind, which evaluates, calculates, figures out things and decides things. And we have the subconscious mind that instinctively reacts, and that's where our belief system is. And a person really only changes when the two are when they work with each other. So if you have a conscious mind that's trying to succeed and a subconscious mind that's geared to scarcity, you're gonna have problems because you're double-minded. So you gotta get the two in uniformity. Anyway, so now I'm handing this credit card to the person, but my subconscious mind is thinking, is there another way? Do you have to spend the money? Is there a deal? Have you thought about every possible angle? All this is happening as the credit card's moving. And just before the credit card gets there, my subconscious says, pull it back, I got an idea. Whoop. The lady looks a little startled. I said, excuse me, I have a question. In America, we have certain airlines, such as Alaska Airlines. And if you get to the airport and they have empty first class seats, you can upgrade to first class for as low as $50. Do you have a program like that? She said, oh, yes, I do, sir. If you wanted to, you could upgrade for $50. I said, charge $50, I'm flying up front. So she charges $50 for me to upgrade to first class, gives me my credit card back, and I said, thank you. I said, first class bags are free, right? She said, yes. Now I want you to see this picture. This is a picture of increase. In the back, we have people six across, crammed together, flying coach paid $50 for a bag. Up front. We have two of us, reclining seats, one flight attendant for two people. It's like a private jet. We paid $50 to upgrade, and we have our bags free. What separates the people in the back for the people in the front. Not how they were dressed, not what they paid for the plane ticket, not their educational background. Only one thing separates those in the back from those in the front: their thinking. Oh, by the way, there were 8 first-class seats. Only 2 of them were occupied. That meant 6 people in the back, if they had had a different thinking, could have been enjoying a first-class experience free. Are you sitting in the back and accepting what's going along, or are you looking for ways to get up front? See, that's what increase is all about. Yeah. Let me just mention to you real quickly that we do have resources in the back. I'm not here to sell resources. I'm here to change lives. But as I've traveled around the world, the lives and peoples who we've really impacted and changed are not people that just heard me speak. They're people I've driven around with. When I speak in the secular arena, our number one seller is our School of Increase. And our School of Increase is 6 different seminars that we've put together into one package and then discounted the package. It's our best-selling series, Great Multitude Lifestyle, our series on Flourish, how to study of palm trees, how to thrive when everything around you is dying, our study on defense, offense sells tickets, defense wins games, our time increase, strategies for increase, break free financially. If you're interested in really making an investment into your future, it's available for half price. I think that's $237. You can get it for 3 payments of $79. We also have our series, Great Multitude Mindset. This is a tremendous series. It's based on Luke the 5, how the fishermen went from emptiness to net breaking increase in one day. What were the changes that Jesus had to make? That's available back at the table. Then we have our book, PowerPoints for Increase, 101 Bible-based success strategies. People love this because every chapter is 2 pages. So you can get an inspirational story real quickly in 2 or 3 minutes. The book is $20. I'd recommend get it in the audio format. If you buy the audio format is $37 and the book is free. We do the Visa, MasterCharge, American Express, cash, check, and airline first class upgrades. Why? That is the question that all leaders continually ask themselves. Why do I think this way? Why do I feel this way? Why am I doing this? What product should we be having on the marketplace? Why are we having this meeting? Why is this in the budget? Why? I have a saying that I teach in our seminars that goes like this. The person that knows how will normally have a job. The person who knows why will normally be the boss or the owner. Let me say that again. The person that knows how will normally have a job. The person knows why will normally be the boss or the owner. Because, see, when you know how to do something, then You're secure as long as the skill that you know how to do is in demand. But when you know why you're doing something, you can take and apply those skills and apply that knowledge into other areas. Let me give you an example. 7 years ago now, Sharon and I had gone over to Hawaii for a few days of R&R before one of our events. And we were staying at what is now the, used to be the JW Marriott. It's now the Four Seasons in Oahu. Beautiful property in West Oahu. And so our daughter Julianne had come with us, and she asked if she could invite a friend that she knew to come over for the afternoon. And I found out he came over and got to talking to him, and she got acquainted with him when she'd gone to Tennessee for a youth camp and got to know him, and he was from Kentucky, I'm sorry. And he was over there in the conversation. He told me that he and some of his friends decided that there was a demand in Hawaii for a youth band that did country music. And so I asked him how it was going. Apparently, there was not a demand in Hawaii for their band because they were living in a tent on the beach and barely making it. But I found out he had tech skills, and I just was impressed talking to him. So I said, Adam, I said, you know, next week we're doing an event. Why don't you come over and work camera and help us with the production crew? I said, I'll fly you over and I'll pay you. He said, I'll come. So Adam came over that next week, and something I noticed about Adam. He wasn't just like a lot of the others. They finished their job, and how could we get out there? Let's get to the beach or get to the pool. He was always looking to do more, and everything he did was excellent. So when the week ended, I said to Adam, I said, Adam, if this band thing doesn't work out for you and you want to make a change, give me a call. I said, you've got a job. I'll hire you. You have a job with me. He said, what would I do? I said, I don't know. I don't have an opening right now, but I'd hire you anyway, because I'd rather have a qualified person before the job than have a job and not be able to find a qualified person. So a short time later, Adam called me and he came and started working for us. And I just had him duplicate CDs and do stuff. And he began to, that excellence brought him to the surface until he became our ballroom manager at our events. This picture is at one of our California events. It's the third day of the event. And I said to Adam, I said, Adam, today, get somebody else to do your job. I just want you to walk around with me. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to listen to what I say. I want you to see what I do. And if you don't know why I'm doing it, I want you to ask me. Because I said, Adam, you've gone as high as you can go knowing what to do. The only way to go higher here now is to know why. When you know the why, you can make decisions for me. When you know the why, you can run the ballroom when I'm not here. Why? The famous author Mark Twain once said, the two most important days in the life of a person is the day they were born and the day they discover their why. So I'd ask you this question. What is your why? What is motivating you? What excites you? What do you get up for every day? Is it to accumulate more money? Is it because you want to become more famous or famous again? Is it because you have possessions that you want to acquire? Is it fame? Is it family? What is your why? See, as evidence from my previous comments, one of my whys is mentoring, coaching, and training and enjoying my family. That's part of my legacy, a key part of my legacy. Whenever I can, I spend time with them. For instance, when I was flying here to be with you, I could have left Palm Springs and flown Palm Springs to Phoenix, Phoenix to here, and gotten in yesterday afternoon. But being that there was changing planes in Phoenix, I didn't do that. I flew Palm Springs to Phoenix and did an overnight. Why? Because two of my five children live in Phoenix, so I had a chance to spend time with them. My granddaughter, I took her. She wanted to get something, so I took her. She wanted to get, a cookie, so she told me about this cookie place. So I took her to a cookie place, and then I saw that next door was Wawa Lemonade, and next door was Donuts. So I said, why get one when we get all three? I mean, that's increased thinking. You do more than what's expected. You create emotion. Anyway, and had dinner with him. But one of my granddaughters, I did this last year. Her name is Chloe. Chloe is an elite volleyball player. And I went and watched Chloe in a meet, and she came back home. And then she started telling me about how her workout and her routine before school and after school and all the effort she's putting forth. And then she started bragging to me. She said, I'm really getting good. She said, I was able to leg press 500 pounds. That's pretty good for a senior in high school. And then we got back home, and she called me upstairs, and she's in her gym outfit, but she's sitting in the tub, and she asked me if I would put ice in the tub. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I'm going to put ice in a tub with my granddaughter? I'll get arrested for child abuse. And I'm thinking, why are you doing this? I asked her that. She said, if I'm really good, I'll get a scholarship. I'll get a free education. I can choose what school I want to go to. She went through all that pain because she knew her why. See, when you know your why, You'll go through some hard times. You'll go through difficult times. You'll do what other people wouldn't do. And by the way, it worked for her. Let me show you a picture of what she got. She got a scholarship to West Point. Jesus is motivated by his why. He said to them, "For this reason, I came." Throughout his ministry and throughout his life, he was motivated by his why. I would encourage you this week, it doesn't have to be complicated, just take a few minutes and write down the three main whys of your life. Why? And also, as you go through this next week, if you find yourself doing something maybe is not productive, the self-destructive or a reaction you don't like, ask yourself why. Because all change begins when you start asking why. But I'm going to ask you to do something beyond that maybe some of you already do. Because there's a why for each of us individually, but there's also a why for every one of us. I believe that God has given every one of us a why. Why are we here? And I believe one of the key reasons is we're here to be a blessing. We're here to make a difference in the lives of other people. See, when that why is driving you, all of a sudden, your life takes on a whole different dimension. When a person is living their life to be a blessing and to make a difference in the lives of others, they can't wait to get up in the morning. All of a sudden, there's a new youthfulness, a new excitement that comes into their life because they realize that every day they live, the world is a better place because they lived another day. Because every day they make a difference. They look to make a difference in other people's lives. It might be big things, it might be little things, but they're geared to that. That's the way they think. It might be just like when I drove up in the parking lot and the Linda, she said, "Welcome home," and with this big smile. And I visit with her and find out she's been working the parking lot for 23 years. And I thanked her and I hugged her for her service. But then I said, "You know, I want to do something for her." So I quick reached in my case and gave her an autograph of one of my books. It wasn't a big thing, but it's a way that I could just say, "I want to bless you." That's my life. Is living to make a difference in other people's. It's why in my money clip, I carry around Starbucks gift cards. And whenever I feel impressed to do it, sometimes you can't give somebody money, but you can give them a gift card. That's why I carry extra $100 bills. Because I feel impressed to do it, you just give one to them. And you say, "Well, wait a minute. I'm barely making it. And now you're telling me that I should be more liberal and I should give?" Yes. Because Proverbs 11:25 says the liberal person shall be made rich by watering others. They water themselves. See, when you're a giver, it does not result in you having less. When you're a giver, you actually get more. Because when you bless others, you bless more. See, you have to break the lie that when you give, you have less. No, when you give, you begin a process that causes increase. Let me illustrate. Let me come down here for just a minute. Do we have any newlyweds here? Do we have anybody in the audience that's married less than a year? Anybody newlywed? Anybody married less than a year? No, where are you? Are you kidding me? Okay, way back there. Okay. Could you stand for just a moment? This is wonderful. Yeah. And could you shout to me, what are your names? Can somebody say, I can't hear. Jesse and Tiffany. Jesse and Tiffany. Okay, thank you. If you'll go to the book table after service, I want to autograph and give you one of our books, okay? God bless you. All right. So, why did Jesse and Tiffany get married? Because they were in love. Okay, so let's say down the road, I'm just theorizing now, don't get nervous. Let's say down the road, Tiffany said, "Jesse, we're going to have a baby." Do they need to have a meeting They decide what to do with their love. See, they have this love, and now a baby's going to come, so they want to give the baby some of the love. So do we give the baby 10% of our love, 20% of our love? Do we give the baby half of our love? How much of our love do we want to keep, and how much do we want to give? No. The baby comes, and they love each other just as much, if not more, and have 100% of love for the baby. Their love expanded. Having the baby did not result in less love. It resulted in an expansion of love. Now she says, later on, we're going to have another one. Oh. After he recovers, they say, okay, now how much of the love are we going to take away from the first child to give to the second child? No. They have more love for each other, 100% love for that child, 107. Why? Because the love gets bigger. That's what happens to your money. When you become a giver, your love field gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I want to encourage you, make a decision today that you are going to live a life of being a blessing. Find your why. And when you do that, your life will take on a whole different dimension. I want to bring all this together with this final story, and then I want to pray for you. St. Louis, I've had a lot of great things happen to me in St. Louis. And this is a combination story of increase and why all put together. But several years ago, I wanted to upgrade our Mercedes to a new model. Newer model. And I told a friend of mine who was a dealer in Kansas City that what I was doing, he said, in St. Louis, every few months over at the auction by the airport, Mercedes has a sale where they sell their off-lease vehicles in their factory executive cars. He said, if you want, just come to the auction with me and walk the lot and tell me what cars you want. He said, and then I'll buy you pick out a car for you, and you can buy it from me at wholesale. So I find myself over here at the St. Louis Auto Auction. It's the end of October. It's a freezing day. In fact, it's supposed to snow the next day. Cold. I'm walking, looking at the 350 cars to decide which ones I want to bid on, because I'm not bidding on any of them. I want black. I want under 20,000 miles. I want factory warranty and less than 2 years old. So I'm walking the lot, and while I'm walking the lot, I lost my wife. I'm thinking, where in the world does Sharon go? I'm looking around, and finally I find her. She's sitting in a Porsche Boxster convertible with the motor running, heating herself. And I didn't know, what's a Porsche Boxster doing at a Mercedes auction? I don't know, but apparently it was an off-lease vehicle. I looked at it. It's got 7,000 miles on it. It's 2 years old. It looks like brand new. And Sharon says, I think you should buy this. I said, I don't need a Porsche convertible. She said, oh, it'd be good for you. And I hear this voice said, you could use a midlife boost. So I say, okay, if it's a good price, I'll buy it. So the Porsche goes through the auction, and because it was cold winter in the Midwest, gonna snow the next day, hardly anybody bid on the car. I bought the car for $6,000 under NADA wholesale, which means I drove the car free for 2 or 3 years with, you know. Anyway, so that was my second car. Now I'm there waiting for him to bid on my car. One of my best friends calls me, Mark, Bob. He said, I'm looking to buy a Mercedes for my wife. I looked last night, and the used ones that I'm looking at are about $73,000, $75,000. Is that a good price? I said, Mark, that's not bad, but they're selling here for around. I'm at an auction. They're selling here for $53,000 to $55,000. Now, mind you, I've never been to a Mercedes auction in my life. I've been to hundreds, scores of Chrysler auctions, but never a Mercedes. First time ever. I'm getting a phone call from one of my best friends, Mark, saying, Bob, I'm looking to buy a Mercedes. I said, what do you want? He said, I want a silver metallic with a sunroof. I said, hey, Mark, I'm looking at one right now. It's got 19,000 miles on it. It's got the sunroof. It's a beautiful car. Do you want it? He said, yes. Whoop! And I bought Mark a car. This is the increased lifestyle. Then I notice in the next line, they're selling Infinities. I look over there, and they're selling them for thousands of dollars under what they should be. So I phoned my son-in-law. I said, how would you like to buy an Infinity at a ridiculous price? He said, yes. I said, okay, I'll buy you one. So I bought them an Infinity. Then I got another Infinity for my executive assistant, and they're so inexpensive. I'm almost getting a truckload now, so I got to buy one more to fill up the truck, so I just buy one to have an inventory to sell. So I go to buy one car, I end up buying six cars. I make money and I bless people. That's what increase is all about. And when you discover your why, I'm describing for you the life that you can live and the change that you can have in the lives of others. Father, I just thank you right now. And I praise you for our time together. I ask you, Lord, to bless each one. Reveal to them their whys. And may this next few months be months of supernatural increase for them and in their lives. Bless them in their coming in and going out, in the city and the field, and all they set their hands to. Amen. God bless you. It's been great being with you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.